Well, for those of you who may not know, either watching online or visiting for the first time here today, my name is Tom Trexler. I'm an elder here in this church, and gosh, January will mark 35 years that we've been coming to this wonderful church. And I've also been a member of the Gideon ministry for going on 31 years, and what a blessing that has been. A few years back, I had the pleasure of distributing Bibles in Hong Kong with a group of Gideons from around the U.S. and all over the world as we went there into Hong Kong. And the Hong Kong Gideons had given us a theme verse for the week as we were getting ready to go out into the streets and to the college campuses and all over that massive city. And the theme verse they gave us was 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. And if you would, please turn with me to that text in your Bibles right now. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I share today about the Gideon ministry, please know that it's not to lift up myself or the Gideon ministry in any way, but it's to share what God is doing through you to help us to get His Word literally to the ends of the earth. Gideons take the scriptures that you help provide the funds for, and we take those and we place them in hotels. Most people know about the hotel Bibles, but will you also help us be able to place them in prisons, on military basis to our fighting men and women who serve us, and also in schools, hospitals, nursing homes, just to name a few. And each is handed out one at a time, and it's handed out in nearly 200 different countries, with the word being printed in over 100 different languages. And each and every Bible is a result of a contribution given at a church service like this today. And in our 100 years of being in this ministry, you have helped us be able to place nearly 2.5 billion copies of God's Word. Now, we place that Bible where the lost and hurting are. And many times it's where people are, like when they check into a hotel, they may be there alone, and they're just faced with that aloneness. And a lot of things can happen there, and it's so comforting to know that the Word is there. And when we go out and give it out on college campuses, when we give it out to military personnel and to police and fire and things like that, it's put into a position where a lot of people who are lost and don't know the Lord are given an opportunity to be exposed to His Word. And even though He uses us to plant those seeds and to provide the water sometimes for that, it is definitely God who gives the increase. And I want to share with you about a hotel Bible and the impact that it can have. You know, we go out, Jimmy Summers and I are both in the Gideons, and we were just out in the hotels in Rock Hill a few weeks ago checking. And the nice thing about the hotels now is they used to be always in a drawer, but a lot of the newer hotels have got it open in their shelves there, so the Bible is easily visible there and can be seen. And we're finding more and more Bibles are missing, and that's a good thing. We like it when we go around twice a year to check all the rooms to make sure they're there, but when they're missing, we know that somebody has taken that and God is using it in a powerful way. And I'd like to share with you one particular story of how a Bible impacted not one life, but many lives. Elliot Ostowitz, it was Christmas Eve, and Elliot had planned to kill himself. Here it was, Christmas Eve, and Elliot's wife had changed the locks on his door. He came back, he came home, and he was banging on the door and asking for her, demanding for her to let him in, and angrily he said, "I'll kick the door down." And she came to the door, and when he looked through the glass, she'd been battling cancer, and her hair was gone, and the eyebrows were off, no eyelashes. She was holding their grandchild. And she looked at him through the glass, and she said, "Go away. I know where you've been. I know who you've been with, and we're better off without you." You see, Elliot had been involved in all sorts of immoral activities. He had a travel group he called the Heathen Tours, where British would come over to America and do all kinds of terrible things, and he would lead this tour, and he would indulge in drugs along with them and other things, and was being unfaithful. And to think he was doing all this and had been gone for several weeks while she was going through that. See, she was raising their two grandchildren because their daughter was in prison and had given birth to one of the children there in prison. And here she was raising those two, dealing with cancer, and he was going through all that. So, yeah, she had a right to lock him out. And he got to thinking to himself, you know what? They are better off without me. Elliot, this was in Jefferson, North Carolina, in the mountains of North Carolina. He went to the local hotel. He had a gun there under the seat of his truck. He took it into the hotel room, and he decided to take his life. He started to put the gun to his head. He noticed on the TV there, and this was a few years ago, this was when the TVs were wider, and sitting there on top of that TV was a Gideon Bible. And this time it wasn't in a drawer, it was open. And Elliot was raised Jewish in California, and seeing that Bible really irritated him. So he put the gun down, he went over, he knocked the Bible off the top of the TV because he didn't want to look at it. And it landed on the floor, still open. And this really ticked him off. So he took his foot and he kicked the Bible, tempted to kick it under the bed, but it was one of those beds that has a wooden baseboard. So when it hit that, it bounced back out, still open. And he looked down at it, and as he looked down at it, the word peace jumped out at him from the page. And he read John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, with my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Elliot spent 3 days in that hotel room reading the Bible and learning the truths about Jesus. He called his wife. He said, I need to talk. She said, I don't know what to tell you, but you can call my pastor. He might not want to talk to you. But that's because the pastor knew Elliot. And Elliot had, many times that pastor would come to their house to visit, and Elliot wouldn't let him in. So, but Elliot called that pastor. He actually called him that Christmas Eve from the hotel room. And he said, "Pastor, this is Elliot Ostowitz." And he said, "I know who it is." He said, "I've got some questions, and I need to talk." He said, "Where are you?" He told him the hotel, and he said, "I'll be right there." Christmas Eve, that pastor came and spent time with Elliot. And then, like I said, Elliot spent the next 3 days in that motel room reading through that Bible. The following Sunday, he attended that church where that pastor was with his wife, and Elliot gave his life to Jesus Christ. You know, and it gets better because Elliot felt called into the ministry. Elliot became a pastor, was asked to plant a church there in Jefferson, North Carolina, a church that grew to over 300 members, had a bus ministry that brought in children, has impacted people like you cannot imagine. And Elliot has become, he's retired now from that church, is now going around to churches teaching how to minister to Jewish and potentially reach Jews for Christ. God has taken one single Bible, placed in a hotel, that someone provided that seed and planted it there, and others have watered and look at the increase that has come from that, as literally hundreds and thousands of people. He shared in South America. He's been in Africa, all over the world, leading others to Christ. And it's amazing to see how God continues to work through many ways. Now, I told you about having an opportunity to go to Hong Kong. Now, when I went to Hong Kong, it was really, as we were getting ready to go to Hong Kong, there was in the paper in the Charlotte Observer was this picture, the protest. I don't know how many of you are aware of the protest that's been going on for a number of years in Hong Kong, but it had just started right before I went. And as you'll see here in the pictures that we've got, Hong Kong is a busy place. It is really crowded. And this was a picture that was taken right before we went there. And this was right outside near where our hotel was. And like Tiananmen Square, they had put this up like they can't kill all of us. And this was really mostly students. And that's what who we were there to go and give Bibles out to in Hong Kong was college students predominantly. And they were rising up and protesting because the communist government of China was now taking back control over Hong Kong, whereas before 1999, it was under British rule and had lots of freedom. And when communist China took back over Hong Kong, they continued to say, well, you'll have your freedoms, but they started taking those away bit by bit. And so they rose up and protested. And this was the picture that was on the front page of the Charlotte Observer, and I saw this a couple of weeks before going, and I was like, I better not show that to Michelle. She might not be too happy, but, you know, it was perfect timing as we got to go there. And, you know, I'll share this story. While we were there, we were going to a college campus, and we were on the subway, and I've shared this story here before, so I apologize if you've heard it before, but it's worth repeating. We were on this subway train, and they were packed normally, but on this trip over to this college campus, this little boy was playing peekaboo with me. And he was looking through the glass. I was on the other side and took this picture, and we were having a great time. But the Lord impressed on my heart as he was doing that to give a Bible to his mom. And I had just picked up this Chinese English Bible that I had brought back with me from a primary school where we had given them out. And I had wanted to share that with his mom. And Hong Kong Gideon was with me, was doing translating. And the neat thing about these Gideon Testaments, whether it be whatever language it is, it has helps in the front. So if someone's going through loneliness or anxiety or anything like that, it'll take them right to the verse that speaks to that. And we were sharing that with her, as you'll see in this picture here. And then, you know, she made a statement. And we were trying to witness to her and lead her to the Lord, but she wasn't ready to do that at the moment. But she says, you know, a friend of mine has been inviting me and asking me to come to church. And now that you've given me a Bible, I think I'll go. Someone planted, someone watered, but God gives the increase. And that was her. Sorry, I took it away. Let's see if I can go back. There you go. What a precious opportunity to be able to see God take that little boy and him connect with us and then connect in the Spirit to give her that word, and then for someone to already have gone before and prepared. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants to use us. He wants to use you to reach those that he brings into your world, whether it be through work or whatever, that you can share and talk about. And we had, like I said, a chance to go on the college campuses there. And many times, when I went to Africa, if you ran out of Bibles, I mean, it was no problem giving out Bibles. If you ran out of Bibles, your life was at stake. But in Hong Kong, it was a little different. There, it wasn't quite as easy to give them out. And many times, though, but any time we gave them out, the moment somebody would accept it, they would open it and start reading it. And we could look back across the campus after we'd given out Bibles and see scenes like this where people were just reading the Word. And we know what happens when people start reading God's Word. He can work through that and speak with him and give the increase. And from there, on that campus, the last day I was praying, God, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave if there's not anybody else that you want to have your word. Please, Lord, please make that clear to me. But I was hungry and I wanted to go get something to eat. And I went in the cafeteria there at Hong Kong Polytechnical University. And while I was in there and I was getting something simple because there were some crazy dishes there, I really saw some different things. It's not the Chinese food we have around here. And but anyway, I got in there, I got me a bowl of rice and a little bit of chicken, and I'm looking for a place to sit. And some university students were waving me over to their table. And I went, me? And they went, yeah, you. And I said, okay. So I went over to sit down with them. They thought I was a visiting professor. Anybody knows me, Michelle laughs. They thought I was a visiting professor, engineering. I said, no, I'm here with the Gideons, and we're giving out Bibles on campus. And they quickly got up and left, and left me sitting there alone at the table. But another girl came and sat down beside me, and she saw this Bible that I had there, and I could see she was looking at it, and I said, I'd like to give this to you. And she said, well, I don't think so. I was raised Buddhist, but I look at all different types of religions now, and I don't really think I want that. She said, but you know what? I heard a story here in Hong Kong of this man who was the head of the mafia, and he had started reading a Bible, and it changed his life. And I don't know why, but right at that moment, the Holy Spirit just laid on my heart to share my own testimony, and I told her how I had been given a Bible when I was in a hospital room and suicidal, and a pastor had given me a Bible, and I didn't know the Lord. I hadn't been going to church, and just through the reading of his word, it kept me from taking my life many times. And later, a number of years later, I gave my life to the Lord, and I was just sharing that with her, and you could see her soften, and she said, you know what, I think I would like to have that Bible. And I gave it to her, and she said, there's some college students, there's some students here on campus that have been inviting me to come to a campus ministry. And I think I'll go. You know what? It touches my heart. My son is a campus minister at UCLA and has the opportunity to reach out and to think that now she has been plugged into a student ministry there. Her name is Iris. Put her picture back up if you can. Just pray for her, because in this next picture you're going to see, after I took this picture, this was that campus. Gorgeous campus. Beautiful. A few years later, the protest in Hong Kong went to a completely different level, and this is that same campus. And it's awful what's happened there, but we were able to go in and plant 25,000 seeds there in Hong Kong. 25,000 copies of God's Word, mostly to those college students. And a lot of violence happened right after we left. And similar things happened when I was in Nigeria. We need to get the Word out. It's important that we get it out. You know, I heard an analogy, you probably heard this analogy, of an apples. You know, an apple and its seeds. You can physically take an apple, cut it open, and you can count how many seeds are in that apple. But it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible to know how much fruit will come out of those planted seeds. Will it be 1,000 apples, 10,000, hundreds of thousands? You'll never know. But that's the same way when we plant the Word, when we give the seed out to the Gideons in other countries and to people all over the world, we can know without a shadow of a doubt, because it was read earlier as Joe was sharing that scripture from Isaiah 55:11. That's a promise that we have, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that seed will bring fruit. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You know, I also had the incredible privilege of going to Nigeria. And in Africa, it was another dangerous place. And I say this because you've got willing sowers out there. Gideons are made up of Christian business and professional men whose sole purpose it is to win men, women, boys, and girls to saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do that through the placement of God's Word. And we have Gideons in all these other countries. They're respected business people in their countries. But in many of these countries, like there in Nigeria, Christians are being killed every day. We saw the report Rebecca sent out recently about prayer requests for our missionaries and how Bob Belito had said that in Nigeria, 17 Christians on average are being killed a day. A day. You know, while I was there, right after I left, just 10 days after I left Nigeria, 3,000 people were wounded and 600 killed, mostly Christians, and many churches were burned. You know, it's important that we get there and we get the word out, but I want you to know you have got courageous Gideons and their wives serving on your behalf in these countries. They don't care. They don't care about the dangers. And I got to work with them. And I was with Ushe Umiago. His nickname was Lion Killer. And he was a local Gideon there in Nigeria that I had the privilege of going out with. And we went out to this military base. And when we got to the gate and said we were here to give Bibles to the soldiers took us to the general's office. It was fairly intimidating because they had their machine guns, and they're taking us there to the general's office. And when we got to the general's in front of him, he was a scary-looking dude. He wasn't happy. He looked at us, and he said, "I did not know you were coming. You're not welcome. There will be no Bibles given out here today." And we hadn't had that happen. Everywhere we went, we were able to freely give them out. But he said, "You will not give Bibles out today." And Ushe started talking with him and trying to change his mind. And I just started silently praying. And after I prayed for a while, I said, "Sir, can I say something?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Sir, I have come from over 5,000 miles from America to bring Bibles to your soldiers. And I've never been able to give a Bible to a soldier. And I've been looking so forward to that. Maybe," and he had told us one of the reasons that we weren't also going to be able to give out any Bibles is all the soldiers were out on training activities, and most of them were gone. I said, maybe there's a few that are here on base. If I could just give a Bible to a few of them, I would love to be able to do that." And you saw his face soften a little bit, the stern look, and he told one of the soldiers, he said, "If you would, bring the chaplain to me." And so the chaplain from the base comes in, and they're over in a corner talking, and then the general says, "My chaplain tells me that if you'll leave the Bibles, he'll make sure that every soldier gets one. But he also tells me that there's a few soldiers that he'll take you to that are on base, and you can give Bibles to them. And so he's going to take you." And so he took us. In this next picture, you're going to see where that's the general. After he softened a little bit, and then here in the next one, that is one of his commanding officers who was a Christian, and he was so excited that we were there to give Bibles to his soldiers, and I was able to give it to some of the soldiers. And then he told me, he said, "Don't you Gideons give Bibles to school children too?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come with me." And he took me, and we went through this brush, and we came out, and here was this little school. Look at the conditions of that school. They just painted the walls black, and that was their chalkboard. That was where the lessons were all printed on that concrete walls. And this picture right here, this little boy, this was his first Bible ever. He was so excited, he got up and started reading it there in the classroom. What a blessing. We were able to go from there in that classroom to other schools. The chaplain took us to the base hospital. We gave Bibles there. Take it down. And when we went into the hospital, there were soldiers there with injuries that you couldn't imagine. And we were able to pray with them and witness to them and give them Bibles. And that chaplain shared with me, he said, "I have been praying for years for this base. You don't know what's going on, and you don't know what these soldiers go through and their families. I believe that God is going to use what happened here today to change families forever." And you know, when we left there, we had given out 3,000 copies on that military base in Nigeria. And those soldiers are battling Boko Haram, and it's unreal what's going on there. But God's word is there, and God is changing lives. And I want to close with one particular story where God taught me about obedience. I had an opportunity to speak at a church in western New York County many years ago, and it was out near Smyrna. And if you're not from that area, you're like, "What is that?" But Smyrna is a very small town. And I drove over there, and while I was speaking at that church, I was sharing about how as Gideons, not only do we give out Bibles in all these different areas, but we also always carry them with us, little testaments with us, so that when God puts someone in our path and gives us an opportunity to witness, that we can share those. And I could go on telling you lots of stories about that. But I shared that day at that church about that, and happened to have this and several of them with me in my car, and I'm driving back through York. And as I'm driving back through York, right there where now there's a 5 bypass, I looked on the right, and there was this single-wide mobile home right next to the Farm Bureau Insurance Agency there, and it was all dirt in front of it, and there were appliances and tires around, and it looked pretty rough. And right there in the dirt, right by the side of the road there on 161, was these three little boys playing in the dirt. And God started impressing on my heart to stop and to give each of those boys a testament. And I didn't do it. Because in my mind, I start thinking, "Oh, I can't do that. You know, here I am in a suit. I pull off on the side of a busy highway and start talking to three little young boys. You know, somebody might come out of that mobile home with a shotgun." I didn't do it. And I went on home. I didn't think about it. And a couple of weeks later, I was scheduled to speak at another church. And this was a number of years ago. Our boys were young. Matthew was about 6 and Daniel was 3. And I remember sitting there reading the paper before I was getting ready to go out. And right there on the front page was a story about this little boy, Paul, who would cross the street to use a payphone to call his grandmother. And this time he crossed the street and got hit by a car and was killed. And it tore me up because I couldn't imagine what that was like. I can't imagine. I had 2 boys and I started thinking about that. It's just awful. And he had several brothers, and it tore me up. But I went on and spoke at the church, and again it was in the western York County. And while I was there, I started telling people about how they could, and we have a Gideon card rack out here, how you could use these cards to give Bibles in memory of someone or in honor of someone. And I was telling about that and showing how each Bible, when placed in a hotel by the Gideons, has the potential to reach over 2,300 readers in its lifespan. So for $5, they could place Bibles in memory of someone, and what a difference that could make. It's even better than flowers because it never fades. It never withers. It never comes back void. And so I told that at that church. I'm driving back, same route, and I come up on that spot where I saw the three boys playing. And sitting there on a little stand was a wreath. In the center was sun. And then I realized that was one of the boys that I didn't give a Bible to. They got hit by a car because there was the motel.
And
I said, I'm so sorry, Lord. And then the Lord impressed on my heart that I could give a Bible to the family in memory of him. And I started doing it again. I started saying to myself, I can't do that. They're not going to know me. To pull in there and just do that. And then I went, nope. I'm going to be obedient. I turned around in York Seafood parking lot, turned right around, drove right up into the front of that mobile home. The door was open. And I stuck my head in and I said, can I come in? And they went, yeah. And the mom was there. And the dad was sitting on a couch. And he was so angry. And he looked at me with just like nothing I'd ever seen before. And just, you could see the hate in his eyes. And I looked at the mom and I said, I was driving by here a couple of weeks ago and God laid it on my heart to give Bibles to your children and I didn't do it. But he's laid it on my heart to give this Bible in memory of your son. And I gave it to her and she thanked me and I left. And years had passed and it always just tore me up about not being obedient initially. And I was speaking at another church in Western York County, a little teeny one, small church, and I, right in the middle of my message, I hadn't planned on it, but the Holy Spirit just had me share that testimony that I just shared with you. And I shared it at this church. And afterwards, this lady came up to me and she said, I have a friend who goes to a church that has a bus ministry, and they bus underprivileged children to their church. And they had picked up Paul, and they had taken him to that church, and the pastor had given a clear presentation of the gospel that day. And some people had decided this was a Baptist church to come forward and to accept that call. But little Paul ran out of the church. And she said, my friend followed him outside and he was crying. And she went up to him and she said, Paul, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. I'm just afraid. I'm scared. She said, my friend led him to the Lord just before he got hit by that car. And she said, and I'm telling you this because God wants you to know he already had it taken care of. He had Paul taken care of. He just wants you to know that who knows how God is going to use that seed that was planted in that house. They moved out. I don't know what happened to them. Don't need to know. I will know. I have the promise of Isaiah 55:11. That God's word will not return void and that family will be changed and who knows what has happened, but God knows. And I just ask that you be faithful and obedient wherever God calls you to be. He will give you opportunities. He will give you opportunities to plant. He'll give you opportunities to water and you can trust in him to give the increase. I want to share three key words with you. We need you. We need you to pray. Pray that for every scripture that will be placed as a result of the offering we're going to take up later today will be used and go where it can make a huge difference. And we need you to give. When you give to the Gideons, a scripture like this that's printed in over 100 different languages costs all of $1.25 for us to print it and ship it to those other countries. A case of 100 Bibles costs $125. And like I said, you're going to have an opportunity to give today. When you leave, there'll be three Gideons at the doors. We've got Jimmy Summers, Mike Elmore, and Tommy Robinson are all Gideons here in our church. And they're going to have an open Bible, and you can make a check out to the Gideons International. And like I said, every penny will go to provide Bibles. They'll go throughout all over the world. And we ask you to join with us. I was here in this church over 35 years ago. Right after I first started visiting and I heard Gideons come and share and God just started speaking to my heart. And I'm so thankful that I joined this ministry And if you feel God leading you to do that, speak with one of us. We'd love to have you. Changed my life. I can't imagine what my life would have been like without it. All of our children got to watch their mom and dad give out Bibles at restaurants and on trips and vacations. We were able to model to our children, and what a blessing that was. And Paul Koistra, who used to be head of Missions of the World and has even spoke at our missions conference in the past, he has a devotional called the 7-Day Faith Promise. And in it, it says, "It is both the privilege and the duty of the Christian to send missionaries by means of generous gifts in ways beyond our human understanding of logic and math. God takes our gifts, He multiplies them, He uses them, and repays the giver with a blessing." Now hear me on this. He's not saying you give and you'll receive your money back. He's saying you'll receive a blessing because it's a blessing to know we've been obedient to God's call on our life. With supporting the Gideon ministry, you're supporting, really, you're helping 250,000 Gideons and their wives, missionaries, so to speak, serving in their own countries, handing out the word that you help provide. And like I said, many are risking their lives to do it. So there is a great need for us to get the word out and get it out now. So I'm being bold in asking you to come alongside us and help. I want to, again, thank you. It was definitely not my purpose to lift up the Gideons. It wasn't my purpose to lift up myself, but to lift up what God is doing through you and your gifts to change the world. One Bible, one person at a time. Thank you.